All right. Well, it's a joy to be with you guys again tonight. I tell you, last year, this weekend, I was back here down here. Had a good time. Heard some good preaching and good singing. And looks like we got a good crew here tonight. Get your Bibles open to the book of Philippians, if you would. Philippians chapter 1 this evening. Glad to be a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't do a lot of things good, but I'm thankful that God called me to do something good. Amen. Let's preach the good gospel, Jesus Christ. Amen. Think about a men's retreat. I think about several things. Can't hardly help but thinking about righteous men. We need righteous men. Men that are just going to do right. The Bible talks about righteousness in the book of Proverbs. And a right man has good desires. And just tonight, just an introduction. What are your desires? It says the thoughts, it says the desires of the righteous are good in the book of Proverbs. If you were to write down your desires, your deepest desires, what would they be? If they're not good, you're not a righteous man. Then the Bible says the thoughts of the good man are good. What are the thoughts of a good man? If someone knew your thoughts, God knows your thoughts. If they're not good, you're not a righteous man. We need some more righteous men, amen? Not perfect men, but good, righteous men. Men that do right. Men that are pure in heart. We need that. I also think about when I think about men and men's retreats, I think about money. Because money is close to a man's heart. You know, money is a very personal thing. The Bible says that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Your money shows your priorities. But we have a purpose for our money, and our purpose is to honor the Lord and take care of our families. Amen? And as we give right, if we honor the Lord with our finances, listen, God has promised an abundant blessing upon the man that gives right. But those are just thoughts that I had about some things I wanted to say. But my message tonight is from the book of Philippians, chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, we find the Apostle Paul writing to a church in Philippi. Philippi was a church that had a great start. This lady got saved by the name of Lydia. She was a seller of purple, and she had a prayer meeting down by the river with the Apostle Paul. Later on that day, he went to jail. And there in the Philippi, he was singing praises, he and Silas. And that night, a jailer got saved. And through Lydia and through this jailer that got saved, a church was started there in Philippi. And that church continued to go on and began to give graciously and generously and sacrificially the things of God and through the Apostle Paul in his ministry. Matter of fact, in Philippians chapter 4, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. This was through the church at Philippi. And he loved this church. And because he loved God's people. And I think we need to love God's people. Let's look what the Bible says. Let's begin in chapter 1 of Philippians, verse number 1. I'm going to read down to verse number 11. And I hope you have your Bibles. We're going to look at several passages tonight. So please, don't get tired of turning the Scriptures. Not what I say that matters. It's what the Bible says that matters. The Bible says, Paul and Timotheus, the servant of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, always making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it was meet for me to think of, you, of this of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds and the defense of the confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. In this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and the praise of God. Let's pray. Dear God in heaven, I want to thank you for dying on the cross through the merits of Jesus Christ and giving redemption to the world, but Lord, to this 46-year-old man here, Lord, it doesn't account to much, but I'm thankful to be in your ministry. I thank you for salvation. I thank you, Lord, for the calling into the ministry. I thank you for your sustaining and your power and your provision, Lord. Lord, I thank you for this meeting tonight. Lord, we ask for your blessing. May everyone in here listen attentively to the messages from the Word of God. And may your hearts be tender to make us more like you. Lord, I pray for the lost soul that's in this room, that's on their way to hell and hasn't made a decision for you yet. God, I pray you're working that heart. Bring conviction. Lord, I pray may tonight be their day of salvation. Lord, I hate for anyone that's in this room to die and go to hell. But Lord, people die all the day, every day. And there may be some among us tonight. But Lord, I pray that you'll bring conviction. Work your will in the hearts of everyone. The believer, the saved one, the backslider, Lord, is among us. The man that's struggling with greed or deceit or pornography or bitterness or anger. God, I pray you'll bring that to their attention and with great conviction, Holy Spirit, that a life will be changed. I love you, Lord, because you first loved me. And in your precious name I pray, Jesus Christ. Amen. Several things here in this passage I want you to see. First of all, Paul had a love for people. You can't read these verses here without seeing Paul's deep love for people. He says that he prays. Look in verse number 3. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests with joy. Later on, he talks about how much he cared for the people. He wanted the best for their lives. Listen, if we're going to be men of God, we need to make sure that we love people. That's a command of God. We don't just love people we like. The Bible says love your enemies. Love people that you don't like. Love people that are unlovely. Because you're unlovely. Listen, and God loves you. Listen, you're a jerk. And God loves you in spite of you being a jerk. Hey, listen, we have a God that's gracious. We have a God that's loving. And you don't tell me that you love Jesus unless you love your brothers and sisters in Christ. Oh, help us. The Apostle Paul loved the Philippian people deeply. He prayed for them. He desired the best for them. And looking down in verse number 10, that ye may approve things that are excellent. He wanted the best for them. Oh, listen, just as a dad wants the best for their children. How many of your daddies in here? Sure, you want to give your children the best, don't you? You want them to work and have character and discipline and character so that they can be the best they can be. Listen, the Apostle Paul desired that for the church. If you have a pastor, listen, your pastor desires the best for you. He desires things that are excellent to you. And we need that. And the Apostle Paul had that heart. But also he knows he wanted to warn them about the day of coming, a day that's coming. Because he loves them, because he cared for them, he says, I want you to be aware that, hey, the day of Christ is coming. Three times in these verses we mentioned about the day of Christ. Notice in verse number 6, it says, being confident of this very thing, which he has begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Christ. If you look down in verse number 10, the last verse, and without fence until the day of Christ. We know that Jesus Christ is coming again. We need to live our lives anticipating that day every day. Jesus is coming again. I don't know when it's going to be, but it could be tonight. Listen, we need to anticipate. We need to live with anticipation that Christ is going to come. And He's going to come for me. I'm going to give account for myself to Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that I will never spend one moment in hell for eternity because the blood of Christ covers my sins. But one day, there's a day of judgment. The Bema Seat, I'm going to stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ and give account for the things I've done in this body as a believer. Listen, that's a day that he's talking about here, the day of Christ. Oh, listen, we need to be warning people about the day of Christ, living with eternity in view. Three things that I want you to see. We're going to start here in Philippians and go to several passages. First, I want you to see, if we're going to be what we ought to be when we stand before Christ, we must live our lives with confidence. The Apostle Paul here says in verse number 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul was confident in God. He was trying to reiterate that confidence to the Philippians here. He says, Philippian people, I want you to know that I have confidence, not in you. Listen, I've got confidence in God. I've got confidence in who my God is and what He is able to do. I've never been in the military, but people say, there are some people in the military that you want by your side in the day of battle. You've heard the term about being in a foxhole with somebody. was talking to Brother Kitty coming down here, and he was talking about people in the Navy. And some people in the Navy are just there to get a GI Bill. And some people are there in the Navy because they love their country. But they're in a foxhole together doing their job. Hey, he wants somebody beside him that he could count on. That's important. That's good. But listen, no matter how good a man is, you cannot put your confidence in men. Friendships, they feel good. But friendships can fail too. I could list a number of people that I know that I've had confidence I like and I admire, but yet they fail. They embarrass their Lord Jesus Christ. They embarrass their families. They've embarrassed their mom and their daddy. Oh, listen, the best of men fail, man. It's better to trust in God than put confidence in men. It's better to trust in God than put the confidence in princes. The best of men. But listen, there's one place we can put our confidence in, and that is the God of the Bible. The Apostle Paul said, listen, being confident of this very thing, we need to have our confidence in God. And what this God did, look what this God did. This God began a good work. He began a good work in these people of the Philippines. Philippi. He began, no doubt, thought of Lydia, the soul of purpose. No doubt he thought of the Philippian jailer and his family the night they got saved and ate that fried chicken out of the microwave, you know? When they came home after dinner, or after the jailbreak, and they got something to eat. He thought about those little kids running around that house when he and his family were saved. So that day that God began, just stop and think, the day you got saved. Look at the person in your mind's eye, the person that shared with you the gospel of Jesus Christ. Who was that? How many got a name in your mind right now? Colin, who's that man? Moses. How about you, Brother Eddie? Amen. And how many of us have another name? A face that you say, this man showed me the gospel of Jesus Christ. On that day, he began a good work in you. And I want you to know that you can be confident that he's going to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. Not only he began a good work, he began a good work. Not just work, but a good work. Good things. Listen, God has good things in store for us. He began a good work in us. He began it in you. It's a personal work. The good work in you. And what He performed, He will finish. I'm thankful that God is the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. He didn't quit. He goes all the way. Listen, God is never going to quit on you. People will quit on us. There is that you want to quit, maybe. But listen, God never quits. I'm thankful for that. Amen. There's been times that I've wanted to quit. Times I just want to say, man, I can't handle this. This is too tough. But hey, you got to just keep on going. Because you have a God that you're going to have confidence in. Listen, we need to have faith in God. I think about Abraham had a confidence in God. Go with me to the book of Romans. Book of Romans chapter 4. In this passage, again, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Christians who lived in Rome, Italy. And he's looking forward to going there and being with them. But Romans chapter 4, verse number 1, he talks about Abraham and the father and how he was justified by his faith. And look in verse number 5, you would. Romans chapter 4, verse number 5. It says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Listen, it's our faith that we're justified. Not by our works, not by our duties, not by how we perform, but by our faith. And look what the Bible says about the confidence of Abraham. Romans chapter 4. And look in verse number 19. Or let's go back to verse number 18. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which he has spoken, so shall thy seed be. And be not weak in faith, but consider not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in what? Faith, giving glory to God. Look at his confidence, verse 21. And being fully persuaded that he that had promised, he was able to perform. Listen, we serve the God of Abraham. 100 years old, his wife already passed the age of life to bear children. God performed a miracle. Abraham was fully persuaded. He against hope, he believed in hope. No matter how far it's gone, listen, God can do it. Listen, we need to have confidence. Not in ourselves, not in our flesh, but in God. God will perform the work. He will finish the work in our lives. Go with me to the book of Romans chapter 8, if you would. I want you to know that we can never get out of the love of God. I love this passage, Romans chapter 8. Of course, back in verse number 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them are the called according to His purpose. And you continue to go on. But look down in verse number 35. The confidence you can have in the love of Jesus Christ. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Look what he says here. For I am what? Persuaded that that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen, if we're going to finish the course, if we're going to be the man of God that God wants us to be, if we're going to stand before Christ the day of His coming, the day that we meet here to them who are the called according to His purpose. Listen, I believe God has called every man, every person to salvation. God desires that they all come to repentance. No one is outside of the love of God. No matter what country they live in, what language they speak, no matter what your background is, listen, God is calling everyone to salvation. If you know someone here, you know someone that's here, but someone else that's maybe not here, you know someone that's not saved, listen, you need to pray for that individual. But God can bring a soul winner by. God can get a gospel tract in that hand. God can introduce that man to a Bible preacher. God doesn't want any should perish. Listen, God has a calling in your life, number one, for salvation. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, your greatest need is salvation. To know that your sins are forever forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. Listen, you need salvation. God's calling you. Number two, not only should we have a calling for salvation, but listen, I believe every Christian has a calling for service. You're not called just to sit in a pew and just soak in sour, put a few dollars in on a Sunday morning or Sunday night. Listen, you're called to sit around and suck on lollipops? No. He said, I got a garden for you to work. I've got animals for you to name. Listen, every man of God that God used had a work to do. Work. It's a word we don't like very much. Now listen, I like to sit around with the best of them. I'll be honest with you. I can sit in my recliner and watch a ball game or watch the news and enjoy it. Amen? But I'm not called to sit around in my recliner all day. Listen, I'm glad I get to do that a little bit before I go to bed. But listen, God is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. What are you doing on purpose that takes work for the Lord Jesus Christ? And it's not coming to church. Mark, that's not on your list. That's not work. That's what is expected. That's what you ought to do. Amen? It's not putting the money in the offering plate. That's not work. I'm not talking about just being a regular Christian. I'm talking about doing something. I'm talking about knocking on the door of someone that's not saved. I'm talking about driving a church van. I'm talking about cleaning the bathrooms and not getting paid for it. I'm talking about cleaning the church vehicle. I'm talking about teaching a Sunday school class. Something that takes some effort, some work. Something that's valuable. Listen, God has called everyone, every believer, to a place of service. What are you doing? Where are you serving Lord Jesus Christ at? Listen, God has a purpose for you. When He called Peter, Peter was working. He was a fisherman. Bent in his nets, and Jesus looked at him and said, follow me. He looked at a working man and said, hey, I've got some work for you. You, when He called Paul was zealous to go to Damascus to get Christians and do his job, to put Christians in jail. He was zealous about it. God called a working man. His life was changed, and I don't know if you can find a harder worker than the Apostle Paul in the Bible. But there are examples of many others. I think of one in particular. I think of one named Demas. Demas in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 10. It says, but Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Listen, there are some things that is going to stop us from serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of them is the things of this world, the pleasures of this world. I'm thankful for Moses that said, hey, I'm going to serve God despite of the pleasures of sin for a season. We're called to serve and to keep going. Be a worker for Jesus Christ. Amen? It's a joy to serve the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Amen? If you know these things, happier if you do them. He was talking about that in the context of washing the disciples' feet. Got on his knees and he washed the disciples' feet. Sweat coming off of him with stinky toes, but you know he's cleaning off dust out of their feet. He was working. And he says in that context, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. We think happiness comes in sitting back. No, happiness comes in obeying Jesus. If we're going to finish that day, we're going to meet Jesus Christ that day with joy in our heart. We're going to know the confidence we can have in God. Number two, we're calling for service. And finally tonight, I want you to go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, we're going to see a commitment that the Apostle Paul had here. Second Timothy chapter given us, he's talking to Timothy again. Timothy was a young preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, a man that he ministered in Philippi. We just now read Philippians chapter 1. It was Paul and Timotheus, Paul and Timothy that ministered together. And Timothy became a great preacher in his own right. But he's writing to Timothy, some people think this is his last letter before he died. It says in verse 7, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. But be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am an appointed apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffered these things. Nevertheless, I am not what? Ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast that form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in you." We see in verse number 14 the words, "a good thing." We started out in Philippians chapter 1. He says, "He that hath began a good work in you." That's a good thing. And here, Apostle Paul, as he's getting ready to encourage Timothy, possibly for the last time, he says, "that good thing which was committed unto thee." God has given us a good thing. But listen, God has given us the ability to have confidence in that good thing, that He's going to perform it. It's what He can do. Not what we can do, not what we can muster up, but what God can do through us. But notice the commitment of the Apostle Paul. Verse number 12, he says, "I know whom I believed, and am persuaded." Again, that's his confidence. He's already talked about his calling previously, and now he talks about, he says, "which I have kept, which I have committed unto Him." Listen, we have a commitment that we must keep. The Apostle Paul David was talking to his son Solomon, and he gave him a charge to keep. Listen, we have a commitment to keep. The Apostle Paul said, "I want you to be committed." He said, "I'm committed. Number one, I'm committed to God." He said, "I'm committed unto Him." I'm committed to God. Now, every man that's committed to God, he's going to be committed to his wife. Amen. If you're committed to God, you can be committed to your church. If you're committed to God, you can be committed to the Bible. You're going to be committed to God, you can be committed to honesty and purity of life. He says, "I'm committed to God unto thee." Listen, we need to be committed, number one, to God. We need to be committed to holiness. "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Later on, the Apostle Paul says to Timothy, "Keep thyself pure." Oh, we need men that are pure. We live in a corrupt culture today. Corruption is all around us. But God says, keep thyself pure. Listen, it's not your wife's job to keep you pure. It's not your boy's job to keep you pure. It's not your daddy's job to keep you pure. That's a commitment you need to make to God Almighty. He says, I'm committed unto thee against that day. A commitment to God, a commitment to holiness. Listen, a commitment to the gospel. We need to be committed to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to other people. We've got to commit. You have people in your workplace that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have neighbors in your neighborhood that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, there are people that you're going to come in contact with, likely this weekend, even before Sunday, that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. It could be a gasoline attendant. It could be a number of people. But listen, God has a place for you. God has a person for you to share the gospel with. We need to be committed to the gospel. We need to be committed to fight a good fight. Looking over in chapter 4. The Apostle Paul says in chapter 4 for 2 Timothy here, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. We need to commit a good fight versus the flesh. Our flesh is our enemy. We need to have a good fight against the devil. Listen, the devil is a defeated foe already. But he's getting victory in Christians' lives every day. Because we're not committed to God. We're not committed to fight a good fight against our flesh. We love the flesh. We like what it feels like. We like when we get pleasures in our flesh. And that dictates how we think and how we do some things sometimes. But God says, hey, be committed. Commit yourself unto God against that day. Fight a good fight against flesh, fight against the devil. But listen, be committed to finish your course. Paul says, I fought a good fight, I have finished my course. Don't be a quitter. Be a finisher. Go to the end. Listen, it's not over till the clock's on 00. Amen? I'm a Tennessee Volunteer fan. If you watched TV last weekend and you watched the game, hey, I'm glad Butch Jones did not stop and say, okay, this is a done deal. I was saying, kick the field goal. Try to kick the field goal. Come on, get tied. But he didn't. He said, I listened to a speech after, an interview after the game, and said, the coach said, hey, you can do this. He said, Josh Dobbs, you throw the ball deep. Listen, he'll go up for the ball. And they went in that huddle with some confidence. I didn't. I was so mad. I was upset. I was almost spilling my cookies and milk, man. I was upset. With force throwing the ball deep. And that guy jumping up there at the height of his jump and getting that ball, bringing it down securely. I tell you, I about went nuts in my house. We had four people in my house. We were just jumping like nuts, like crazy. But listen, they finished. I thought it was over. I thought it was a done deal. I thought it was going to be 4-1. But no, listen, they fought to the end. Listen, we need to finish the course. Now, you're going to fall down sometimes. You're going to get down where you don't want to feel like getting back up. Listen, you may lose your testimony. You may slip up. You may fall on your face. I hope you don't. But the fact is, even just men fall 7 times. But then there's a just man and a wicked man. A just man gets up again. The Bible says a just man falls 7 times, but yet rises up again. Listen, we need to finish the course. Paul wasn't perfect. Paul was far from perfect. But he was committed. And he fought a good fight. He finished his course, and he kept the faith. Listen, we're going to stand before God that day. We need to stand. We need to live our lives with confidence. We need to answer and live our lives with a calling God has given to us for salvation, but for service. And we need to live our lives committed to the things that God has called us to do. Commit yourselves to Him. Don't leave this retreat just like you came. Leave this retreat with be a more committed Christian. A more committed church member, a more committed father, a more committed husband, a more committed friend. Oh, how God can help us if we trust Him. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we come before Your presence in the name of Jesus Christ, thanking You for Your mercy and Your love. Thanking You, Lord, for this time around Your Word. Thank You for these great examples in the Scriptures. some great words, some great thoughts we can have and take home with us, God. I pray that we won't leave this camp, leave this retreat the same way. Holy Spirit of God, convict of sin. Convict of righteousness, Lord. Convict the judgment to come, this day of reckoning that we're going to stand before Christ one day. May we stand that day with confidence, knowing that we did our calling and we were committed to your will. Thank you for your love to us, and these things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our precious Savior. Amen.